How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
What up, Dose?
Yeah!
Hey, Morgan.
Yeah?
Hi. Like a normal person.
I'm rooting for y'all.
Yeah, but how about my point guard number 5, Derek Fox?
Let's go, Cam.
Oh, my God!
Oh, my God.
I hope you basketball sickos realize one thing. The basketball universe had their eyeballs on the capital city tonight. People checking their box scores, rubbing eyes, going, what? Is there some issue with the NBA app? Is my ESPN app lying to me? I'm a degenerate gambler. I'm looking at an app. Blah, blah, blah. Does De'Aaron Fox really have 40 plus? Wait. He's got 49. No. There's no way. Because this guy last night had 60 points in overtime. Then the next night, with DeMar DeRozan out, with Sabonis out, with Malik Monk out, defense is keyed on him. He said, get on my back.
Literally.
It's time to rock. Get on my back. It is my time to take over. And he just straight clapped that ass. De'Aaron Fox, are you kidding me?
Jeez.
49 points for him. 60 last night. 109 the last two games. Stop it!
Why are we yelling stop it?
Show this guy some respect!
Yeah!
Look at what he is doing!
Yeah,
he's doing it at all three levels. The podcast hasn't started yet.
No.
I haven't even gotten started yet. I'm just going. Fox has me juiced. I want to play another game tomorrow. Hey, Hawks, come to town early. Let's go for three
Let
in a
me
row.
Sleep.
50 plus.
No, please. No more games until Monday.
Oh my God, the first thing we need to do, chat, is a Saturday night. Oh. You guys were kind of in your feelings last night after the Kings couldn't get it done. But tonight, odds stacked against them. Double-digit deficit.
Oh my gosh.
It's tired legs.
Give me a hell yeah.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And if you haven't done it yet, do me a favor, hit the thumbs up and subscribe.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Holy shit, man.
I know,
dude. Holy shit.
What a...
Morgan,
yep.
I love basketball. I don't know, you know that? Breaking news at this hour.
Oh, I couldn't tell.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. I love basketball. I love great performances. And when it's my team doing the great performances, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. What we have witnessed the last couple of games, in all seriousness, is beautiful.
Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know.
Are you kidding me?
This guy is unbelievable.
Oh, bump, 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 bump.
De'Aaron Fox,
49 points tonight.
No. He had 60 last night. 109 points in back-to-back games. Tonight, the Kings beyond shorthanded. No DeMar DeRozan still out with back tightness. Malik Monk still out.
And then you find out Sabonis, lower back tightness, he is out. Second, I have a back-to-back, a Utah team that plays scrappy. They play tough. They've got some guys that can give you some problems, including Lauri Markkanen. They're coming off a win against Dallas. They were chilling in Sacramento, feet up, watching you play late into the night and losing an emotional game in an NBA Cup game against the Minnesota T-Wolves. But De'Aaron Fox had other plans tonight. He said, get on my back. I'm not done. I could have kept playing last night. I wanted to play more. Yeah. And he came out with a thirst to dominate, and he absolutely did just that. 49 points. He did it on 16 of 30 shooting, 3 of 4 from downtown, 14 of 19 at the free throw line. 49 points. And no, this is bigger than just numbers for you. We are talking about stuff that we don't see in NBA history. 60 points last night, 49 tonight, the second most points scored over consecutive days in the last 50 years in NBA history.
Oh, my.
ESPN stats and info. Tim McMahon have this. Players who have scored at least 109 points over two nights. De'Aaron Fox the last two nights. Kobe Bryant in 2007. And Wilt did it 15 times. Yes, De'Aaron Fox, Kobe Bryant, Wilt Chamberlain in the same conversation after tonight. De'Aaron Fox and the Kings put up big numbers, and they got a comeback after being down double digits. They beat the Utah Jazz 121-117. They're now 8-6. Day off. Atlanta coming Monday. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing?
I'm really good, and I'm just having a thought right now. Do you recall what I said in Kings pregame?
If he was going to have to do something like this again?
No, I said, how crazy would it be like if this were to happen again this season? And you laughed at me and said, Morgan, the odds are not up for me.
Yeah, the odds
of that. And then it happens tonight, right after he did it already. It's incredible.
Special. Just a special performance from De'Aaron Fox. We'll break it all down. But right after the game, we had a chance to catch up with De'Aaron Fox on Kings pre and post game live. And hopefully you enjoy this conversation we had with D-Fox after his monster 49-point game.
De'Aaron Fox, who's standing by right now. And De'Aaron, we're talking about this big win for you guys. And let's just start with this. Last night, you go to overtime game. You're playing without DeMar DeRozan, Sabonis, and Malik Monk tonight. How did you get it done?
In that second half, we were a little bit better. There were stretches where we were really good, especially in the first half, whenever we were able to get up like 12, 13, but we weren't able to sustain it. But, I mean, this is our first win on the second night of a back-to-back this year, so you take it.
De'Aaron, 109 points the last two games. You had 60 last night in an overtime game. You come back, being shorthanded, second half back-to-back with 49. How are you doing this?
I mean, I'm just trying to stay in constant attack mode, just trying to be able to get downhill, whenever they help, kick the ball out, get spray threes, and I think it makes it a little bit easier on my teammates. And, I mean, this was a really big team, and they weren't helping a lot in the first half. And in the second half, we were able to make the defense collapse and get some wide-open threes. So, I mean, for me, you know, I want to be in the best shape of my life, and I feel like I'm getting in it.
De'Aaron, you're acting like this isn't a big deal. what is it like to be in that type of rhythm?
Oh, man, a lot of the times the rim looks like an ocean, except for those last free throws that I end up missing. But, my teammates, you know, they're looking for me to create. Obviously, three of our top four creators are out of the game, so my teammates looking at me to do a little bit more. And for me, it's like I said, I'm trying to keep it very, very simple. If we're in a pick and roll, if we get a mix match somewhere, get downhill, finish. If I can't finish, spray the ball and make offense easy.
And you mentioned the team. I mean, you guys shot so much better from beyond the arc tonight. How good is that to see the ball go through the hoop from deep?
That's great. And I truly think that it's because of the way that we're touching the paint. Even with last game and even when we played against Phoenix, we're touching the paint. We're making the defense collapse more than we were, I feel like, in the previous however many games. And with those threes, I mean, with those passes, come easy threes. You're not, you know, being chased or anything like that. You're standing there with your feet set. Someone might be flying at you, but at the end of the day, as an NBA player, I mean, as a basketball player, period, you know, those are the easiest type of shots that you can take, and we're making the best of it right now.
And De'Aaron, one more thing. I guarantee you that Malik Monk gave you crap for not getting 50. Am I right?
People just told me he offed me because I didn't get it. But hey, Hey, man, I got to shoot better free throws at the end of the game, for sure.
You rocked it, De'Aaron. Thanks so much for joining us. Go enjoy this win with your team.
Thank you, guys.
That's the one and only De'Aaron Fox with us on NBC Sports California. Kings pre- and post-game live. We're on the last few games. But he said it. Feels like throwing the ball in the ocean right now. And he's doing it at all three levels, right? Like, tonight got to the free throw line even more. Mm-hmm. He was 12 of what? He ended up being 14 of 19 at the line. He probably should have had 50-plus in this game.
I know.
So he's probably kicking himself for that a little bit. But, I mean, the three-point shooting, the mid-range, attacking with force. And tonight, there was physicality for sure. They were trying to beat the hell out of him.
There was so much physicality. And for that, you know how hard that is when you're not getting certain calls, when it's as obvious as getting hugged, running down a lane, and then they just call the ball going out of bounds or whatever. But my point to that being is it's hard to stay mentally strong in those moments. And they have shown night after night after night that they stay focused. They control what they can control. And it's starting with that guy who takes the most contact and still is capable of finishing at the rim, in the paint, win a floater, beyond the arc, midi, doesn't matter.
I think what's been so impressive about him the last couple of nights, too, is like you're doing this when you're missing two guys in Monk and DeRozan who attract a lot of attention and also have the ability to break down the defense. Mm-hmm. Without those guys, you it's like Fox is the creator, right? He's the guy. And then you lose Sabonis, too, who can command a double team. Opposing defenses are like, all right, let's key on then this guy. Let's key on and like let's lock him down. And they can't because he's got a gift of speed. And Luke Laux, before the Minnesota game, who's an assistant coach and who's really tight, of course, with De'Aaron Fox, he challenged Fox to like, you got to get into the paint. And I've been so impressed that Fox has accepted that challenge. And what do you know, the last couple of games? He's combined for 109 points. Mm-hmm. And in all honesty, the Kings are getting good looks out of it. And he's got to maintain that type of aggressiveness. Of course, like he's not going to be scoring like this every single night. But his ability to just get in the paint and cause havoc, getting to the line, finishing at the rim, kicking out. I mean, the guy had 9 assists tonight, too.
That's him talking about the spray threes and just the understanding of why the shot is falling or was falling tonight like it was. I love hearing that from the best player on the team. Understanding that, like, yeah, you can't just get the first three. You have to get the best three. You have to make sure you're playing the game the right way. And playing the game the right way is working the ball, putting energy through the ball, making the defense shift from left to right. And they did that so many times. And, of course, it's the Utah Jazz. You're supposed to win. But there were so many elements, so many factors going into tonight, from being shorthanded to a lot of these guys not even seeing these types of opportunities because Mike Brown hasn't trusted them. And to have it come together and work tonight, like it was the perfect storm.
A couple other Fox numbers before we jump into the rest of the game, because there's definitely other things to go over tonight. De'Aaron, last two games, 38 of 65 shooting. That's 58%.
Wow.
He's also 9 of 14 from downtown during that stretch, 64%. Also, his updated points per game after the last couple of games, he is now averaging just under 29 points per game for Sacramento, 50% shooting, and his three-point shooting has jumped. It's now up to 34.5% after being just dreadful for a large stretch of the season, just like most of the Kings, more.
Yeah,
so that's really encouraging.
It is. It's encouraging that it's happening at this point of the season, you know, especially, like you said, it's been so much doom with the Kings three-pointers. We have breaking news, I guess.
We have breaking news at this hour to get to, Morgan.
What is it?
Sacramento no longer is not last in three-point attempts. Or excuse me, three-point percentage.
Oh, okay.
They're no longer last in three-point. Let me rewind. Can I try that again?
Okay, wait. Do it again.
I think I just had like a mental issue here.
Okay.
Morgan Reagan, I've got some breaking news at this hour.
Yeah, for sure.
The Kings are no longer last in three-point percentage.
Good.
They're no longer 29th.
Okay.
At this hour, I can tell you the Kings are now 24th in three-point percentage after hitting 19 of 41 tonight. They are up to a blistering 33%.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hey, improvement. On their way up.
Awesome news. Awesome news. It to really see the Kings knock down threes. Okay, let's dive in. We talked some De'Aaron Fox, and we'll talk more about him, too, on the pod. But some other stuff from this game tonight. We mentioned being shorthanded without Sabonis, DeRozan, and Monk. Second I have a back-to-back. Mike Brown changed up the starting lineup, and he went small, which was very interesting tonight. He decided to start De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Huerter, Doug McDermott, Keegan Murray, and Trey Lyles.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because you do say small, but I remember before the game yesterday against Minnesota, we're like, oh, is he going to go small with Keon or bigger with Trey?
Yeah.
And Alex Len wasn't even a thought in that moment.
Sure, but they also had Sabonis, so that's absolutely my point. So this is smaller with Trey at the five, going up against a team that's got Markkanen, Collins, and Filipowski.
Absolutely. And so anyway, my point to that being is that he went, okay, well, I want to even add more size with someone like Doug McDermott. And Trey Lyles loved the way that he played in this game. So glad that he got the start, but also so glad how he finished the game as well.
I also like that they started this group because if you're going to go lean into this, like you want to space the floor, have shooting everywhere, and get up and down the floor against this Utah Jazz team who is turnover prone and can make mistakes. This allowed Fox to be able to get downhill because that you have to respect Trey Lyles' shooting. Doug McDermott is a legit shooting threat. Kevin Huerter, Keegan Murray. So the floor was spaced great for Sacramento in this game. So I thought that was a good decision. But going back to your point about Trey, this was what was fantastic about him. He did not hesitate. When he got that ball and he was slightly open, he was going to fire away. And he knocked down 5 of 7 from downtown. He had 18 points. He had 5 rebounds in this game. And excuse me, sorry. He had 17 points in this game. He had 3 rebounds. I was reading Kevin Huerter.
Oh,
17 points. He had 3 rebounds, 6 of 9 shooting, 5 of 7 from three. And a key defensive stop late on John Collins.
Yeah, I mean, that stop alone, just obviously being able to defend without fouling there and just staying super disciplined on a very important play. And, I mean, honestly, I just thought John Collins was going to get the call. For many different reasons, just how the officiating was going throughout the night. But I thought Trey Lyles knocking down his threes and just being completely focused from beyond the arc, not only was it good for him and his confidence, I think it truly made the team that much better and that much more confident from beyond the arc.
He was 5 of 7 from downtown. Kevin Huerter was 5 of 12 from downtown. So those guys combined for 10 of the 19 made three-pointers. From Sacramento, you had Doug knocked down 2, Fox knocked down 3, McLaughlin knocked down 2, so that was really encouraging for Sacramento. So that was the good news. We should also acknowledge, like, Mike Brown, like, what's he going to do coming off the bench tonight?
This was interesting.
Well, Keon Ellis was not the first sub off the bench. It was Jordan McLaughlin, Mason Jones, and Orlando Robinson.
Yep.
We talked about this last night. Orlando Robinson played his first action last night in Stockton. He had 26 points in that game, fill up the stat sheet, knocked down a couple of threes. And I was like, I wonder if he's probably going to get, he might get some run tomorrow if he's available. Well, once with Sabonis out, they go to him.
Yeah. And when,
and I loved what I saw from Orlando Robinson.
I'm so with you on that. I loved the activity that he brought right away with trying to crash the boards. You know, I mean, he finished with 3 rebounds in his 12 minutes. The big three that he did hit, because at that point too, you're still just thinking bad things about the Kings shooting from beyond the arc, but he comes in and he knocks down a three. He was 1 of 2, or I'm sorry, he was only 1 of 1. He took 1 3, knocked it down. And in those 12 minutes, I just thought the aggressiveness, the energy was
good size.
It's a size.
He's long.
Yes.
And I felt like he was contesting well at the rim. Like he'd get in foul trouble. But the guy played last night too. He played 30 minutes last night in the G League. And he comes to Sacramento early in this game. And I felt like he brought good energy to the table for Mike Brown. And maybe someone you go, huh, you could see getting some rotational minutes. I mean, you need some athleticism. And he did not hesitate on that three-point attempt either. That's what I love. He's not shy about taking the three. He knocked down 2 of 6 last night in the G League. Tonight hits that one attempt. We were watching before the game. He's making three after three after three. To have a backup center at his size, his length, to step out and hit a three, huge.
But it was his first opportunity, too, with this team.
I'm glad. Let's sit on this for a second. Let me read you one of the lineups tonight. You had McLaughlin, Mason Jones, Herter, Keegan Robinson. You also had a lineup. God, there's one where it's like J-Mac. Doug was in there. It was all these guys that you're like, oh, you know, these guys have never played together in a game before.
Yeah.
Have they even practiced in a lineup together? All Orlando, this was his first NBA game this year. He'd been hurt. So you just think about these guys getting this opportunity and being mentally ready, engaged to come out and contribute in some way. And I felt like pretty much everyone who Mike went to tonight had a moment where you're like, oh, that was good. That was good.
Absolutely. It was exactly what I wanted to see. I think why I wanted to see it so bad was because I keep seeing other NBA teams do it, right? And they do it, and they only have 2-star guys or whatever it may be in their starting lineup. And then they go down the bench, they go into the depth, and it's not so much because they're trying to have these guys fill the role of whatever the starters were doing out there or the star players. It's because you need to make sure that you're integrating other players in this team sport when it comes to making sure that you have the minute distribution correct throughout a long NBA season, especially with the way that they play. And so for Mike Brown to kind of be forced into that a little bit tonight, I thought it was great. And the guys showed up too.
Yeah, I mean, off the bench tonight, McLaughlin plays just under 22 minutes. You got 12 from Robinson. Keon only played 10 minutes. Talk about him and Keegan in a minute. Alex Len played just under 13, had 8 points. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists for him. And then Isaac Jones got some run. He played 12 minutes. So Mike kind of sprinkled in different looks, and I thought that was good because it gave him a chance to see these guys play in meaningful minutes in a tight ball game. Here we are watching Isaac Jones finish at the rim, tough finish, looked like he got fouled, and that was in the fourth quarter of a close game. I'm like, this guy's on a two-way deal, a rookie, and he's playing in a meaningful situation. I think it does wonders for those guys and their confidence. I think it does wonders for Mike Brown's coaching staff to evaluate in this type of setting, significant for the Kings tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what kind of made it fun, is that like other guys were stepping up that were unexpected.
Yeah.
It did feel like a lot was put on De'Aaron Fox, and like you had to rely on him to do something, to be a creator. But at the same time, too, it was nice that when he was creating or was making the defense collapse, that other guys were stepping up and being like, okay, well, I can make this bucket. Okay, I can get this rebound. Okay, I can also make this extra pass.
Yeah, by the way, De'Aaron in the first quarter had 18 points on 7 of 7 shooting, 3 of 3 from downtown. That's how he opened the quarter. That's just crazy to think about. I was just looking back at my notes.
Dude, he was on one.
Yeah, I for Isaac Jones to get those meaningful minutes is huge. And so like for him to have those 12 points, and I just, or the 12 minutes and 6 points, couple of rebounds. I don't know. You're just intrigued by some of these young athletes. And maybe this is a situation where you never know how an NBA season unfolds, right? Last year at this time, we weren't really talking about Keon Ellis being a rotation player for Mike Brown. He ends up playing a critical role down the stretch when they have some injuries and he's playing some significant minutes. And, you know, who's to say that Orlando Robinson doesn't kind of force his way into things for Sacramento or Isaac Jones? So let's see how that develops going forward. But tonight was a step in the right direction.
Yeah, it was fun to see. I was going to go back to the Keon Ellis thing because you and I, when we were talking about that, when he wasn't first in the rotation, was he in trouble?
Yeah, Keon Ellis did not come in until the start of the second quarter. He didn't play in the first quarter. So, you know, all those rotations we talked about, different guys were getting in and out of the lineup. Keon Ellis did not enter the game until the second quarter. He had, 10 minutes in this game?
Yep.
Keon tonight, Morgan, I think to answer your question, yes, last night, I think impacted Mike Brown's decision-making.
Okay.
You know, we did a video breakdown on the pregame show looking at like the Kings overtime and how they just made a lot of mistakes.
Indecisive.
And Keon's got this habit he has to break. And that is passing up shots. And tonight he did it again when he got into the game. There was, it was actually, it was in the third quarter. He had a great look from three. He did the same thing he did last night, except he didn't drive on Gobert this time. He put the ball on the floor, tried to pass it out, and was a turnover, a bucket for Utah. The game's all, you know, all of a sudden getting out of hand a little bit. And Keon has to take shots when he's open. Okay, you're not asking for Keon to create a ton, but here's what you do need him to be. You need him to be a threat out there. I know what he can do defensively, but his decision-making, you have to shoot the ball. Carlin's being crazy over here, the dog. So, yeah, that's him. And then the other guy, Keegan Murray tonight. I said to you at halftime, I'm like, we cannot have a game where DeMar's out, Sabonis is out, and Malik's out, and Keegan has two shots at the half.
I was so disappointed in that.
I noted he didn't take his first shot in this game until the 5:53 mark of the second quarter.
Why it was the only reason why it stood out to me while everyone else was starting to step up in different roles, it stood out to me because it just felt like so much again was put on De'Aaron's shoulders, but without the extra guys being in there. You know, like De'Aaron at least had Domas last night against the T-Wolves. Well, De'Aaron couldn't rely on Keegan because Keegan just wasn't choosing to be aggressive. And it's not like the Jazz defense is a lockdown defense that knows how to just really take Keegan out.
They're 29th in defensive rating.
Thank you. And that's what was so frustrating about it, because not only we've seen Keegan do more, but it can't be in flashes. Like, and especially with our expectations for him, and I think his expectations for himself, and I'm sure Mike Brown in the organization's expectations for him.
Yeah, it was puzzling tonight because I felt like there were times he got the ball early, and, you know, I think Filipowski was on him once. I mean, and he had a tough defensive matchup dealing with Markkanen.
Sure.
But, like, when he got the ball, it just didn't feel like there was any decisiveness with his moves. Like, you got to make quick decisions. I want to see, you know, give me a jab step.
Look like a threat.
Yeah, look at, like, be aggressive.
Do what Deuce is doing right now. Well, show him, show him.
But what I'm saying is, like, there was, like, a lot of, like, slow motion, like, I don't know, like.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, someone that had not played a lot before. And he needs, and that's what I'm like, are you banged up? What's happening? Because I don't understand why he's lost his confidence in that regard. Like, even a couple of times, I thought he had looked the same, similar looks that Trey got. Trey would fire that shit. Yeah. And Keegan wasn't. Keegan is too talented of an offensive player. He can score.
Agreed.
Okay. I saw him score 47 points on the Utah Jazz last year. We've seen him have the ability to get hot and take shots. In a night where those guys are out, he cannot take a backseat. He has to play with force, attack. Look for his, force a couple of shots. I don't give a shit. I want to see you go get after it.
And I know throughout this season, we keep looking at minute distribution and like, okay, are you tired because you're doing so much on the other end and everything else? But then you're also seeing your main guy, De'Aaron Fox, do that two nights in a row. And it's like, how does that not inspire you differently to make sure that you're also looking for yours, being aggressive? Just kind of like you're saying, you're exactly right. I thought the way he was kind of just going through the motions,
It just
didn't seem I just know he can do more. And the coaching staff and Mike Brown empowers it. Not only do they empower it, they threaten to sit you if you are not shooting the basketball.
I think he's also a player that does rely on action with Sabonis a lot too. And so without Sabonis,
that's fine.
We haven't talked enough about is like, the Kings haven't played a lot of games without Sabonis. Oh. Last year, Sabonis did not miss a game. The year before, he missed three games. So he's missed three games in two seasons. Mm-hmm. And we know how important that is for a lot of guys. You know, the DHO game, even though the Kings aren't running as much of that anymore. But, you know, Keegan and Sabonis have good chemistry. However, I've seen Keegan get the ball and make shit happen before. And I felt like tonight he wasn't looking to make it happen. And it happened, you know, last night in the overtime session, he got the ball and he overthought it. He didn't really look like a threat. He could have gotten to Sabonis, didn't. Got it back to Fox, and it was a turnover. Keegan's got to play with more force. And it's frustrating because we've seen him do it. And when you see the flashes, you're growth, excitement. And
You've seen it consistent at one point. I feel like, you know, where that's why to see it spot on here. And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe he's tired because of the minutes. Okay, he's doing a lot on the defensive end. But, no, you're exactly right. In a game like this, especially, like, even if I understand Markkanen, tough cover. There's some quick guards on this. It's the NBA. I get it. But, like, you're capable is why it's frustrating.
You have to, like, tonight, like, you need to be taken I mean, he should be taking 15 shots a night with those other guys there. Without them, like, I know Fox was cooking, but, like, you could have gotten some looks, and he didn't do that. And that doesn't take away from the strides he's made defensively. I think he's a really good defensive player. But we've said this from the jump. If the Kings are going to get to the next level as a team as currently constructed, it's because Keegan takes a step.
Absolutely.
I've also made the point, you know, tonight's not the best example of this for me, but in other games where he's like, you know, getting 15 and 12 and doing a great job playing defense, I'm looking around going, get this guy some help at the wing spot so he doesn't have to guard the best player all the time. Because all of a sudden, this guy is not making shots like he used to. And it's like, he has no help. He is the King's wing. He is the wing. That's not enough. And so I'm so bullish on him, and I still am a big believer in him. I think he can be a really productive player in this league. But he's got to start making shots, and he's got to start in these situations looking to attack more. The Kings need that from him, and that's, like, the biggest area of growth.
Yeah, and I feel like, too, why I feel so strongly about it on a night like this, even after a W, is because it's like you said, it is so important for that next step, for this roster, for this Kings team, for this organization, if they want to go to the next level. You know, they add DeMar DeRozan. They have a little bit more. You've guys with another year of experience, and then you have someone like De'Aaron going off as well. It's something that needs to happen, but it's also like he can do it.
Just he can.
Switch the mentality.
Yeah. Get fired up, Keegan. Let's go. You got this shit, man.
Do this.
Yeah. I appreciate everyone hanging out with us tonight. If you have not done it yet, can you hit the thumbs up and subscribe? I do want to see how close we are to, you know, I was hyping up that 18,000 mark, you know, still not there, but we're getting close.
Thanks, guys.
So if you haven't subscribed yet, do it. I just got the update. We are 20 away from 18,000 subs. Can we get there tonight? Oh, do I believe? I'm really eager to see what Keegan looks like coming up on Monday. You know, it's I want to see the level of aggressiveness go up for him.
Yeah. So we'll see when we get there. And hopefully, like you started mentioning, though, that Sabonis is feeling better. DeMar DeRozan, same kind of thing. Because it's a different game. It's a different style of play. I do think, though, since you are taking on the Hawks, if it were a game that you needed to take one more game off with and also allow some of these other guys to see another opportunity.
It's a great point because you like, and Atlanta can be problematic too.
Yes.
Dyson Daniels didn't play in the last game against Sacramento, and that guy is
a steal king.
Deflection king, steals king. He's been playing great basketball for the Hawks. If Sabonis and DeRozan have to sit again, in a weird way, for guys playing heavy minutes, you sit them. If you can win that game against the Hawks, you don't play again until Friday. That's a significant amount of rest, and it's early in the season, you know, and it allows you to, like you said, experiment with the bench a little more, and maybe you have a little more trust and get those guys' minutes back down going forward.
Yeah. So, again, there's a lot here in this next week to really look at, whether it's opportunities, whether it's guys feeling healthy again and feeling good and being able to get back in the mix. But I think it's really telling too what this Kings team was going to do without someone like Domas Sabonis. I thought at times in the beginning, I was like, oh God, what's happening with the offense? Okay, De'Aaron Fox, just go. Just freaking go get in the paint, do what you need to do. And then there was other times where the flow just kept getting better and guys looked a little bit more confident out there.
I'm looking at the calendar too, because you're talking about all the games we've had lately. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
too many back-to-backs.
So this stretch was just 5 and 7 nights. five games in 7 minutes. So one, and if you go back to Clippers game last Friday, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
And you, so had, you had a USF game there.
Six games. 6 games in 9 nights for Sacramento. I mean, it's so, yeah.
That's why I'm sick.
6 games in 9 nights. So this has been a huge, grueling stretch for Sacramento, and they're hanging tough at 8-6, and still a lot of things to figure out. We'll talk more about the Hawks game. We got a lot more to get to, if you don't mind.
Oh, it's a Saturday night.
Tomorrow?
I get to sleep.
I'm not all doing day. Shit tomorrow.
I'm calling it Rot Sunday, where I'm rotting on my couch and being disgusting.
Kendra Andrews in town.
Oh, no. She's coming over on the couch, and we are going to just, I'm going to force her to watch WNBA draft, and Stockton Kings are taking on
Bronny tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Oh. So that's what I'm rotting and forcing her to watch.
I might not do any of that. Appreciate you guys so much for being here. We should mention that tonight's podcast is presented by our friends over at Mother Restaurant in Sacramento. Check out their website, mothersacramento.com.
Deuce, someone came up to me before the game. She was so sweet. She's like, love you guys. She's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for telling me about Mother. They live in Stockton and they're coming to the game tonight. They went to Mother first. She said, I've never eaten lasagna like that. I've never had such great food. The people were so nice. And I'm like, well, duh. I promise you, we only partner with the best, and they're one of the best in Sacramento as people, as a restaurant. And I'm just so glad that so many of our listeners are experienced Mother.
Yeah. So check out their website, mothersacramento.com, located at 2319 K Street. Amazing food. Bichelin bib. Duh. That's awesome food. Plus Mike, Lisa, and Rob Sacramentans, who are also Kings fans. Go there before a game. Go there tomorrow. Why not? 2319 K Street in Sacramento. Also presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. Kings fans, this one's for you. Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. Scan that QR code on the screen to see their range of products and services to help start your financial journey today, Morgan.
And like I said yesterday, I've already had listeners come up to me too and say, okay, you also have to make sure to tell everybody on your podcast that the year that the Kings made the playoffs, I won playoff tickets through being a Golden One Credit Union member. So there's so many perks. There's so many reasons why you should just sign up today and scan that QR code.
Yeah, up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal. Also 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store. That's how you win as one. Go to goldenone.com. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors, Morgan.
Oh, yes. I'm sure everyone has seen the commercial where I'm a mother of a few kids, and
we never talked about this.
Yeah, but what's up?
Your husband's much older than you.
Yeah, you know what's funny?
That's your actual husband, though.
No, so it's a commercial and I'm acting.
I don't know.
Because if I was going to marry a older husband, he would probably be like a rich billionaire, like, dude, and it would be like in a mansion.
Okay.
Like, why else would I marry someone rich? And by the way, ew, I'm not even weird like that anyway. But my point is, it's just the weirdest commercial of my life. But Northwest Exteriors windows are not weird, and they're amazing. And you should make sure you check out their website today because you can get so many different deals.
Yeah, check out their showroom, too. You could try all the windows for yourself, and right now they've got an awesome deal. Northwest Exteriors is offering to give you a $109 window buyback offer. Also, they'll donate $20 to the Warrior Foundation Freedom Station for each window purchase. The foundation supports veterans, and that offer expires December 29th, 2024. You okay with
that? Yeah, no, Jordan goes, shallow. Yeah, have you seen the commercial? Like, you'd be like, what is she doing?
Well, check out the commercial and check out northwestexteriors.com because Morgan Reagan didn't mean to hit that. They are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. Also, Morgan will get mad at me because I never mentioned this.
What?
Check out our website, deuceandmo.com. Click on merch. We've got merch everywhere that you should check out. I never promote it, and it's really bad. But if you need to get our stuff, we got a whole bunch of new merch. Deuceandmo.com. Click on merch. We got Light the Beam. We got our new logo stuff, glasses, mugs, hoodies for hoodie season. Shop now at deuceandmo.com.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Oh, God.
Can we get serious for a moment?
Sure.
We did lose someone today, and we should take a minute to talk about it.
Okay. What? Can I laugh? Oh, no!
Royale, the new Kings mascot that was announced November 14, 2024, is no longer with us 2 days later. Royale did not make his in-arena debut. It looks like Slamson took care of business. It was a mascot that we found out about just days ago with the release of the Sacramento Kings' new City Edition uniforms. His big globe head, his charming smile, his amazing eyes in some ways.
Look at that.
And that point, the emphatic point, it's all over. I think we need to take some time.
2 days?
To acknowledge Royale and his contributions to the Sacramento Kings. Morgan, do you have anything to say about our friend?
Yeah, what the fuck did he do?
What? He was only here a couple of days.
He said contributions.
That smile is charming. But we do want to just say rest in peace to Royale.
Long live Royale.
Man, just in some ways very, very sad, right?
Someone asked, did Slamson eat him?
That's a great point. I don't know. That's a great, great question.
What?
You and Morgan think Royale is dead? You cannot kill Royale. Royale is invincible. And Royale will make his return to Sacramento before you know it. When and where? Well, you better not go to sleep.
Jesus.
Holy shit.
Why would you do that?
Why would Royale do that? Wait.
That was like, mascots are already creepy. Like, that was so creepy. That's creepy. You better not go to sleep. That face, if you go back to that face.
I guess Royale is alive. Holy shit.
This is such a...
I don't even know where to go from here.
You know, I'm honestly, the fact that that was in there, I'm a little creeped out by everything right now.
Okay, let's try to move on. Wow.
Is this you looking for Royale? Your acting skills? You can take on my husband and kids in that commercial the next time.
Let's get to simply the best player of the game. Let's give it up to the simply best player of the game tonight. Doug McDermott is not. It is
Hey!
De'Aaron Fox. the simply the best player of the game, 49 points. He also had 9 assists. Morgan Reagan, 109 points in the last 2 games.
Insane.
It's staggering to look at these numbers. And I have to repeat this, these numbers from the NBA, because these stats keep pouring out. 60 last night, 49 tonight, the second most points scored over consecutive days in the last 50 years. And how about the players who have scored at least 109 points over 2 nights? De'Aaron Fox the last 2 nights. Kobe Bryant in 2007. And Wilt Chamberlain did it 15 times.
Amazing.
De'Aaron Fox are simply the best player of the game, presented by Northwest Exteriors.
Back to back, simply the best player of the game.
Dude.
What if for some reason you were like, you just didn't make him the player of the game tonight? That
would be really lame. Also, our moment jar, I realized I just pre-did it. I put it in here.
You didn't even ask me.
Gee, I wonder what it is.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so De'Aaron Fox, of course, November 14th, back to back, no Sabonis. No DeMar, no Monk. Get 49 points.
Show your handwriting. No.
What's wrong with it?
No, like, I'm not going to be able to read that if I have to check that out a year from now.
That's very legible. BTB. I've had the date, the number of the game, 49 points. I don't know why I did the no, like, the zero with it. I don't know.
Like, so he doesn't know why he did that today, but he's going to remember that. A year from now.
For good vibes, do we want to just pick a random one out of here?
No, you want to pick a random one out of here. And what if you pick a bad vibe one?
I won't read it.
Okay, deal.
Honestly, I don't know what to think with Royale still being alive at this hour.
So stupid.
We won't read that one.
Oh my God. Which one was it?
It was a Pelicans game. I
know.
From last year.
Royale is freaking haunting us now.
Oh, man. We also have some great news tonight. Great news for NBA fans around the world.
Oh, yes, yes.
You guys may have not heard this quite yet, but Mark Stein had a story about this earlier. Inside the NBA, much like Royale, still alive. Warner Brothers, Discovery, and the NBA have settled some legal problems, okay? This is like a mega deal. What's going to happen is Turner is going to license Inside the NBA to ESPN. So yes, ESPN is going to have Inside the NBA. Some of the details are still being worked out. I believe I should actually, this, of course, Wall Street Journal has a paywall. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find like the tweet with it, see if the details are already out there. Okay, Awful Announcing has the story. So they have agreed to a deal with ESPN and TNT. So the NBA is not going to be on TNT next year, but Inside the NBA has been saved. The agreement in place reported on Saturday. Separately, Warner Brothers Discovery struck a deal with Disney to license a TNT show Inside the NBA to ESPN and ABC next season, according to people familiar with the matter. The show, which features a former player, Charles Barkley Shaq, has an enthusiastic and large following. The show will air throughout the course of the season. It's also been confirmed by some media reporters saying, can confirm Warner Brothers Discovery has reached a settlement with the NBA. Inside the NBA will continue and license to ESPN. All talent will remain TNT Sports employees and can be used in other future shows or projects for Warner Brothers Discovery. I think more details will come out about this. I think this is going to end up being like a trade situation between the two companies in some ways.
Been a trade.
But Inside the NBA,
congrats,
is still alive. It is going to be on ESPN. And what a major move, because you know NBC wanted those guys, mm-hmm. Amazon, and it works out for both parties,
it's
right?
Genius. It's genius. I love it. I love it for obviously the Inside the NBA guys. And then I think for ESPN, after some of the people that they let go, which I thought was ridiculous, like basketball people, you better make sure you're doing the right thing. And maybe that was part of it, just thinking about when you think about some of the finances. But I don't know how that all works, so I'm not even.
The licensing thing is great. And, yeah. It, you know, they have that deal with Pat McAfee, and he controls all the content. I'm sure it's going to be similar. I think, you know, TNT is going to be. I mean, ESPN is not going to start micromanaging Charles Barkley. It's just not going to work. If that show is going to continue to exist, it's going to exist in the form yep. that it is now.
Yep.
And, you know, I think it could be positioned following some big games on ABC or ESPN. And if it's on weekly, that's a win for NBA fans, for the NBA, for Warner, and for ESPN. It's just, it's huge news.
Yeah. I just think it's exciting news for NBA fans.
Yep.
You know, you think about what that show means to so many different people and just like how some people just get excited about watching that show. And it's not, sometimes it's not about these guys necessarily breaking down the game the right way. It's more about being entertained while you're talking hoops.
Morgan, I think sometimes we lose sight of that in this business. You know, of course you break down the game.
Yeah.
We are in the entertainment business.
Absolutely.
If you just had a couple of people up there just serious X and O's and only doing... It's like, no. This is basketball. It's fun. You're supposed to laugh. You're supposed to be emotional, irrational.
It's about everything. It's about finding the balance of people being able to... Obviously, if they've had that experience and being able to talk about it the right way. And because I just think there's, and obviously the chemistry is special too. So if you don't have certain elements, you can't just shove former players up there and expect it to be a good show. And it works for them.
We also have this video that Morgan posted. I have not seen yet. It is labeled, here's 15 seconds of Deuce Mason with every emotion during the game.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is from the NBC set at Golden 1 Center.
Probably like the third or fourth quarter.
Do I need volume on or no?
I mean, sure. I don't care.
I'll just turn it. What am I pointing at?
I don't know.
Oh, that's me at the official. Okay.
Dude. this is nothing. This is just 15 really seconds.
That's actually pretty chill with me sitting down. Usually I'm standing up.
I know. No, I tried. I was like, dude, this guy is insane. I got to get this. Like, you're insane, dude.
I wanted this game. I wanted last night's game so bad. I know. You know, especially for De'Aaron. So tonight seeing De'Aaron do his thing was...
it was special.
Dude. It was so special. I mean, when we go over, you know.
What are you starting?
No, I'm just like, these numbers are just insane to me. I think part of it, I'm losing my mind realizing like how many games we've had recently. But I'm like, we're not just like, oh, he had like the most points in the last 10 years in Sacramento. No. Franchise record in points last night. You had to go back to Jack Twyman. All right. Like that's a long ass time ago. Okay. Like Jerry Reynolds might have like been a kid going to see Jack Twyman's games or went to high school with the guy. Right. So that record, and then to do it again, second, I have a back-to-back shorthanded. I'm glad the rest of the NBA world is getting this exposure to De'Aaron Fox. I've been on the Fox train for a long, long time, and you know, it's been bumpy at times. There have been times like,
sure.
But I feel like in the Mike Brown era, his game has risen to a different dimension. And it's him understanding what he could truly be in this league. What he did tonight, that's what stars do. That's what the best of the best do.
In I take a step back and I think about all the nights that we have come here and talked about the best players in the NBA and talked about why couldn't the Kings do this to him, this to him, this to him. If we were Bruce and Joe in Utah right now, what would you say about like defending De'Aaron? Like how, like, you know, oh, so-and-so should have done this. The team defense should have done this. They should have gone to a zone. Like, what are you even saying right now? The guy was going to get his no matter what. It was like when Jalen Brunson was here last year.
Or Anthony Edwards last night.
I mean, or Anthony, yeah. Like, let's go just like fresh right there. Yeah, no, and it's like when you talk about some of these players and no one can stop them, no matter what you throw on them, it's pretty incredible.
And it's fun to see when, you know, De'Aaron's been here his whole career, right? Since he was 19, and to see how far he has come. And now, in my opinion, like one of the best defensive point guards in the league because he tackles the biggest matchups. And then when he needs to, he can do this. He's deadly. He's absolutely one of the best. And, you know, I thought last year, even though he had that cold streak, it's like, dude, the guy's an all-star in this league. And he's done it once before. He's an all-NBA player before. And now he's proving like, oh, no, I can do it on both ends. I can do it with my back against the wall. I've improved all aspects of my game. I love his physicality. I just love his approach. And he doesn't have to do this every night because he's got a good team. And you know what? Let DeMar do some shit. Let Sabonis and others go out there and impact the game. But knowing, seeing what we saw the last couple of games was truly remarkable. Mm-hmm. Outside of Sacramento.
Yep.
Like, this is big picture basketball we're talking
basketball
about.
Basketball fans, not Kings fans. Yeah. Basketball fans. And just even going off of what Ant said last night, because I don't think we shared that on the podcast last night.
We did.
Did we?
Yeah, I played it.
Where was I?
You're on probably a NyQuil or something.
Okay. Oh, my God. That did happen last night. Oh, I think you're right. I recall. When Ant, though, was talking about De'Aaron and just being underappreciated, underrated, and being able to compete against him. Oh, yeah, I do remember talking about this now. It was, it's special when your peers are talking about you like that, and that respect is there, and you're hearing that from some of the best players.
And he knows basketball. He's a hooper. Hoopers know hoopers. And seeing Anthony Edwards say that was really cool.
Agreed.
But, what a special night. What a special last couple of nights. I wish the Kings would have beat Minnesota, but this one felt good because it seemed improbable in some ways.
That shots were falling and your best player was going off. Mm. I mean, I had a little bit of everything. Oh, and a great crowd on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And by the way, just a quick shout out. I've seen so many of my former teammates, high school, college, AAU, throughout, like, I think that's been one of my favorite things about working in my hometown is just like, oh my God, like seeing some of these people. Like, I mean, I saw someone tonight, she threw me on the ground in a rebounding drill, and my coach screamed at me and said, "Get up, freshman." And
your setup of the story, when you're like, "She threw me on the ground," I'm like, "She, when did this happen tonight? Is that why your nose was bleeding at one point?" No.
Oh, yeah, my nose was bleeding as well.
Question real fast.
Yeah. Great question already.
Morgan turns to me. She's got like a napkin or a tissue and she goes, "Deuce, my nose is bleeding."
So I'm freaking out because I'm on set and I sneeze and everything just is probably dry in my freaking nose and my nose just starts bleeding. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my. So I'm like snot and blood on my freaking face, like in my nose, and I have makeup on and shit. And I'm like, "Deuce, my nose is bleeding. What should I do?" And he just keeps watching the game and is on his Blue Sky and goes, "I just keep doing what you're doing."
Yeah, hold
like
there.
Literally just goes, "Keep doing what you're doing."
And then you gave me some shit. I was like, "Is it gushing?"
Well, and then I need a teammate. And so then, thank God, Perry, our audio guy, he was like, "Oh my God, do you need a tissue?" I was like, "Yes, please."
You had one.
I needed more. It was blood and snot and gross.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you having a bloody nose would cause your legs not to work and cause you to be immobile so you couldn't go to the bathroom and take care of it.
Oh, my God. Like, how many women do we have in here?
I am because watching a game.
When men are sick, when they need help, when they need anything, it's like the world is about to end. But I needed one thing, one goddamn extra napkin so my snot and blood wouldn't go all over my hands.
Oh, my God. Just
give everyone a freaking picture. I had to redo my makeup, too.
Oh my God. I did want to bring up one more NBA related thing that we got to get to. Someone tagged me in something too that I don't know if it's worth looking at. So I'm going to just check real fast because, hey, it's Saturday night.
Yeah. Hey, Saturday.
No way. How about this update? This is from Worldwide Wob saying the final 2 minutes of the Kings Jazz game just took 20 minutes and 39 seconds of real time to complete. Yeah, you know, it was funny. During postgame, I looked at the total time of this game. It was 2 hours and 33 minutes. I didn't get to overtime. Yeah.
Even when we started this podcast, it felt so late. I was like, why is it so much later?
20 minutes and 39 seconds for the final 2 minutes. Yeah, I didn't want to make this about the officials tonight.
I know.
Mark Davis and his crew tonight, I'm just like, I was perplexed. And I don't know what the hell was going on, but it just seemed like constant miscommunication, missed calls. I mean, the Kings challenge, thankfully the Kings saved their challenge for the end of the game, right?
Thank God.
Because Fox got absolutely mugged. They won that challenge, and they used two challenges in the last 37 seconds of the game, and one of them was like, oh, the ball went off Utah, clearly, and they missed it. And I just felt like there were constant delays tonight. Reviews took far too long tonight. I don't know what the hell was transpiring, but it was odd. And you expect more from an NBA crew.
Yeah, I agree. Like, even the command of where you were having someone take the ball from out of bounds to just, like, not going straight to a jump ball situation when the ball went out of bounds. Like, we just got to be locked in at those times. And, again, I get it. You're going to have those nights. Like, there's going to be bad calls, all the different things. But it would have been something that we're talking about right now that could have factored in. Yeah. It wouldn't have been the reason, but it would have factored in to the L, and it would have been just like super disappointing, super disappointing.
Leandro on the chat says, please save all the challenges for the end. Ha ha. No, honestly, that's why. I think about this a lot. I mean, like, if I'm a coach, I don't know, they must have some analytics. Sometimes these coaches just go by feel and gut. They want to have their guys back. But like, if I'm a coach, I want to just save that for the fourth quarter. And, you know, I'd much rather do that unless there's like some like call that you're like, that's this guy's, this will be his fourth foul. We can't lose. I get not something third, like that, but fourth. Like, and you gotta be certain, and it's hard, but I'm so glad the Kings had theirs tonight because both of them came in a crucial moment in a tight ball game with the game on the line in the last 37 seconds. Yeah, Sexton, was it Sexton that fouled him on that drive, Fox?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was outrageous, and I don't know how you miss it. And
That's what was so frustrating. It was so blatantly obvious. It wasn't like, it was like, there's three of you. And Mark Davis loved calling a few fouls for the Jazz, like up at the, you know, half court line, wherever he was. And it was just like, really, you're going to call that late after the shot's missed? Whatever. But then something so obvious like that, where it was just like, you can't miss that. Like, that is, it's not like, oh, their job is hard in that situation. In that situation, it's like, that is your job. That's a huge job. And that's a huge miss in a crucial moment of a game.
Also,
what?
I've seen Mike Brown mad before. I want to see this guy get a technical. Like, I don't think he's had one this year.
Let it come naturally. Don't force.
There was a moment during this game tonight. My chest got hot, and I was just death glare at Mark Davis. There, I mean, he couldn't see me, but I was like, if I was close to the floor right now, I think I'd say something to Mark Davis. It was like, what are you doing? Like, some of the stuff that they were choosing not to call when De'Aaron Fox is driving and then call on the other end. The free throw disparity tonight, Utah shot 42 free throws, 42 to 25. Not acting as if Sacramento didn't foul, but I didn't feel like it was consistently called.
Yeah.
And then they just missed shit. It's just like a disorganized, clunky game. And if we're going to get on players for having clunky performances, we can get on refs for like, dude, a game that's a 48-minute game should not last 2 hours and 33 minutes. In addition to that, the last 2 minutes and 30 seconds shouldn't last 20 minutes. That's outrageous. Be better.
It's like you said, there was a lot of fouls by the Kings that would either be deemed a foul, and then there were some that were just like physical plays, and they were calling both in all of them. And then it felt like on the other end with the Jazz, they were being physical and fouling, and only obviously half those calls were being called. And so again, it was just one of those games where it felt very obvious, and that was frustrating at times, but it wouldn't have been the reason why the Kings lost if they did.
The other thing I want to mention, potential NBA All-Star changes. We did not discuss this, but Shams Charania over at ESPN says the NBA is in serious talks about a tournament-style All-Star game. This story was written yesterday, and it could happen this year, 2025 in San Francisco. Oh. What would happen? It would consist of three All-Star teams of eight players each, and the winner of the Rising Stars game. League officials discussed the new format Friday with the competition committee, consisting of governors, team execs, players, coaches, and union personnel, according to ESPN. The four teams would face each other in matchups. For instance, Team 1 versus Team 3, Team 2 versus Team 4, and the winners would move on to the final round of the tournament. NBA team executives, coaches, and players have discussed new All-Star Game concepts with league officials over the past 6 months, including extensive conversations at the Summer League in Vegas, and there have been discussions for a fresh and creative path forward for the All-Star Game. In this quick burst, four-team tournament among the game's greatest players gained momentum among all parties, according to sources.
Okay, just creating more competition.
The All-Star Game has been a joke forever.
Atrocious.
And everyone's like, it's just for kids, blah, blah. No, you know what? I'm an NBA fan. I love the league. I love basketball. I want to turn on a game and just see like some fun. I understand it's not going to be game 7 of the NBA Finals, but it should not be 211 to 174 final. Like what? Like these guys the last couple of years, it's been embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And if this is going to get the players to buy in and make it more interesting for everybody from viewers, fans, everyone involved, I'm all for it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And I think, you know, the league has to make sure, like, you have to understand, oh, these players, it's a long season and how these players feel by the time they get to All-Star break, and players that aren't All-Stars get more rest, all the different things. I get it, but you have to make them feel like they want to compete. And, you know, trying out a different format, tournament style, could be the thing, and it might, and it could also not be the thing, you know, but it's good that they're trying to make a tweak.
The other thing that was mentioned that I love.
What?
Remember last year we had Steph against Sabrina Ionescu?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like they might expand that. Steph and Sabrina return, and the addition would be Klay Thompson coming to San Francisco.
And?
Caitlin Clark.
Oh, that would be, okay.
So you'd have the Splash Brothers at All-Star Weekend. And Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu. Like, I'm sorry, that's must watch. It's must watch.
That's pretty cool.
Like, All-Star Saturday night, that should be the main event. It shouldn't be the dunk contest. Hell, you can even think about getting rid of it, whatever. The main event is this. In the NBA, look, we're all about traditions. I get it. We're nostalgic. But you also have to evolve. And there's great things to expand the game with changing up the All-Star game. Getting rid of the East-West format. If you do a tournament style, maybe it's more intriguing. The players have bought into the NBA Cup, which is great. They bought into the play-in, which is great. I think they buy into this. I love this shit.
Yeah. I especially love the sound of that three-point contest. I think that would be
and
huge.
I hope the Kings can like be finished strong here before the break, because I really want some all-star representation this year. Remember last year? No All-Stars for the Kings. Remember Sabonis didn't make it. And we're like, what?
Remember.
Yeah. But he was all NBA.
Yeah. I mean, if Domas, assuming that he is healthy soon and keeps playing the way that he was playing, it will be one of those years again where we'll just be like, okay, is the NBA sleeping on him?
Yeah. Well, if I'll say this, if Fox can continue this streak of scoring like 40 to 60 points a night, I think he's going to have a shot.
Yeah, because wasn't it? If he scored, that's funny. But wasn't it like just January he had that drop off?
Yeah.
He had a great start of the year and then that drop off, and it's like, oh my God, he had a drop off. He can't be an all-star. And it was like, okay, whatever.
Man.
Screw all you.
Final thoughts, Morgan? Did we miss anything? I don't think we did.
Oh no, this will be Deuce's worst thing. Then I'll get yelled at. What? Why'd we miss this, and this? And I'll be like, well, I had a fun time on the podcast. And he'll be like, I don't care about fun. I care about if we miss things. And then he'll say, Morgan, it's our day off. We have to do a clip. We have to do a clip. I'll be like, okay.
Tomorrow's a blackout day. Not like I'm blacking out, but like, you know, during an NBA season, there's blackout days. There's no, you don't do anything. I'm not doing anything tomorrow.
Bullshit.
I'm not.
Believe it when I see it.
I'm not. I've also made a point. I think I'm abandoning our Discord for a little while.
You're going to leave it up for them, though?
Yeah, but I feel like a disappointed dad right now. It's just it's just so...
It used to be very... Yeah. I mean, I lurk, and it used to be much more conversational, Morgan, and now it's like hot takey.
I went in there after the game today, and I was like, oh, let's see what everyone's saying about Fox. How fun was that? Literally, I'm scrolling, and all I'm seeing is like trade Keegan. Oh, yeah, you do this. I'm like, God damn, dude. The game ended like 20 minutes ago.
That's
like,
for Twitter.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, well, I mean, and it's fine if you feel a certain way and want to have a conversation about it. But I think when it becomes hot, takey, and weird is when it's like, I thought our Discord, we had like basketball people in there too, not just.
You're not there often enough. I've
seen some good stuff and I've seen some really not good stuff.
I think for my mental, I'm just like, you know what?
That's fair to feel disappointed.
All right. Go figure out yourself, kids.
Look what you guys did. Yeah. You made your dad disappointed. Daddy Deuce. Daddy Deuce.
Anyway, final thoughts as I stare at a piece of Carlin poop right below my foot right now. Okay, I guess Carlin did poop in here. Okay, great. Thanks, cool. Baba.
Paralyzed. He doesn't know how to hold it into his butt because he's paralyzed back there. Anyway, final thought. What an epic two nights, you know? I know it's a loss and a win, but you really just think about the individual performance of De'Aaron Fox and how many times in years in Sacramento you'd want to talk about a player like this that is as good of a player on the court as he is of a person off the court. And it's just,
it's special.
It's really cool.
Yeah. My final thought, this Kings team, we've talked about their flaws. The one thing I've admired about them this year as they try to maneuver through this poor shooting start, they fight, man. Even last night, they fought.
It's the like theme.
They missed shots. They made some mistakes last night. But they fought to get back in that game down 20 of Minnesota, and they almost won. They probably should have won, right? You got to execute. Tonight, dude, like, there's teams that when they're down shorthanded, second half of a back-to-back, get down double digits to the third quarter, like, you start questioning things. Maybe you don't have a lot in the tank. They kept pushing.
Yeah.
They fight. And I really admire the fight. And I have also just so much respect for what De'Aaron's done the last couple of days. Just that is superstar status right there. And it's been fun. And these are the moments I always talk about, like appreciating these times, because we had so many bad, terrible years of, 22 wins. And we'd still get excited over moments that happened from young guys or like, hey, this guy did this. What we saw the last couple of nights at Golden One Center are like, these are like games you won't forget like 20 years from now in terms of this performance.
And like nights like this too, I always do appreciate being able to come here with all of you because of course I enjoy doing pre and post whenever we get to do it, especially that together. But like always being able to really expand on the podcast with you guys after these like epic moments is so cool. So thanks for being here.
I will not be on Monday's broadcast with Morgan. I think it's you, Drapes, and is it Mike Bibby in town? I think Mike's coming.
I don't even know who it is.
The Bibster, but I'm back with you Friday.
Clips.
Kings Clippers. Ooh. NBA Cup Showdown. Is that here or there?
It's away.
It's at Intuit.
And it's 7:30 PM.
Oh no.
In San Francisco, though.
It's fine. Let's get a win. I'm trying to go to Vegas. I want to go to Vegas. Sip out of a cup. The NBA.
Remember, we don't know if it's actually.
We went last year and I saw the Lakers beat the Pacers. Ugh.
It was a fun experience,
All right. It's been fun. We'll enjoy the day off, but we're back at it Monday night for Kings Hawks. After this episode's done, the biggest thing you could do is also hit the thumbs up and subscribe. And also you can comment because it helps the channel grow. Let's keep the algorithm going so more and more people see our show around the world. We love you guys so, so, so much, but we gots to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.